The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Taking Stock. It is the 25th of October, 2023. 2 months to Christmas, everyone. Is Santa on his way? Let's hope, Johnny boy, eh?
Yay.
There we are. Cashmere John or the Grinch. Every season, see, John, you're relevant. See, a Grinch for Christmas, Cashmere John in the winter, and Beach Top John in the summer. Thank you for joining everyone live, as always. If you listen to the podcast, try and join us live one day and comment, like, share, subscribe, all that stuff. And don't forget, download that Vox Markets app. If you haven't done it yet, give it a try. It's free, and you'll thank me for it. Okay, so the question is today, is it time to buy UK stocks? And I tell you what, in the last few weeks, or months even, there have been many, many companies being taken out, acquired by either UK businesses or US businesses. And we got On the Market, that's been acquired, SES Group, Kinnan Carter, Technology, yeah. Restaurant Group, Pendragon, all of them. And the people acquiring these businesses are not stupid. They've done their research. They've done their due diligence. They know about valuing companies and they know about earning money long-term from investing in companies. And so to me, this is a good sign. In fact, it is a sign of the bottom of the market, John, isn't it? Where you get a lot of acquisitions happening, do you think?
I think so. The UK market is very cheap. I mentioned it the other day, but it's something that Jamie Constable of Singer pointed out. And that video is up on site now. A fifth of the FTSE are trading on single-digit PEs.
Yeah.
All guys, please. It's absurdly cheap, certainly relative to other markets. And yeah, there's some earnings risk behind that. But, you know, what we're seeing, and we've got some trading updates that demonstrate this, is actually, you know, a lot of the risks are discounted in, you know, and that's what the single digit PEs reflect. And, you know, some of the sort of caution over earnings forecasts is unwarranted. But you have to be careful and find the right companies. And there's a few out today that fit that bill.
That's exactly it. Now, let's say it's a stock market. It's a market of stocks. You still got to find good businesses that are undervalued. You still got to do your research. Mm. Try and find some around. But John mentioned quite a few the other day. And, you know, I'm holding a portfolio worth of them. Yeah. But look at this. And, you know, the more the AIM All Share goes down, the more I'm convinced we can have a massive rally towards the end of this year, because stats stack up very well on this, especially after a sell-off. The AIM All Share has been down for 21 days in the last 25 days. That's 84%. And UK is a great place to invest, full of sharp entrepreneurs. In fact, listen to this stat. This stat is amazing. British startups have attracted $15 billion of investment from venture capital firms so far this year, cementing the UK status as Europe's top hub for young, high-growth companies. It outstrips $8 billion by France, almost double what France, you know, attracted in investment, and more than double of what Germany's attracted, $7 billion. It means the UK is only smaller than the US and China. And, of course, you can't compare them because they're huge countries with multiples of our population. But nevertheless, nearly double. And, in fact, our GDP is better than Germany and France. Brexit, eh?
Mm. I mean, they're very different types of economy. I mean, you know, we should get too political about it, but the UK has incredible universities. You know, we're, you know, on the world stage. I mean, you know, we talk this country down quite a lot, but our universities are, you know, world leading. Yeah. It's not just Oxford and Cambridge. You know, you've got some fantastic universities in the top 10. You know, Imperial College.
Yeah,
I think it's in the top 10. You've got UCL, but once again, another London university. You've got some fantastic Russell Group universities, you know, and, you know, Southampton is a very good one down near you, Justin, particularly on the engineering side of things. Manchester's very good on the engineering front. So, you know, you've got fantastic brains in this country. And it's not just, you know, British brains. It's brains that come from all around the world to study at these universities. And fantastic IP comes out of that, which can be turned into fantastic companies. And, you know, and that's just a fact. UK universities are world leading.
Yeah, they are.
Maybe not to the same degree as the US, but we do have an entrepreneurial culture here. And, you know, we have strong positions in specific industries. Life sciences, incredibly strong, and tech, arguably. You know, a lot of the innovations in AI that we're seeing coming through now have come from the UK. You know, DeepMind, obviously, which was acquired by Google, being the big leader there. So yeah, I it makes sense, and it doesn't make sense that, you know, the UK is so out of favor, so talked down that actually Yeah, you've got to start to see. I think we've got some government issues that stand in the way. That's all. I would say.
That can happen in every country, but yeah, I mean, the inconsistency of government, and I think even from within has to change. And what a government has to understand as well, you need to stay. If you're a position of authority in the cabinet, you've got to be there for a certain amount of time. You can't just flip flop between departments all the time because there's no planning, there's no forward planning. You know, you should look 10, 20 years in advance. And I said, we have the talent here. Come on, Britain is an amazing country. I really is a part of it. It's talked down a lot. The tech we got there, like I said, investment, VC is not stupid. They know. And so what I say is, there are companies on AIM that are very good. There are companies that are very bad. It's down to you to do your due diligence. But there are companies I think will rip up, you know, achieve multiple games over the next few years. And I think the bull market. Do you know what the catalyst? You were talking actually with Jamie yesterday, and very interesting. Largely, you know, I'm in agreement with what he said. I've said that several times, saying that the interest rates, they say higher for longer. They may be obviously higher than we've seen the last 10, 20 years, interest rates. But I do believe they'll start to roll over. When they start to see that inflation will tick down below interest rates and the economy getting worse, then they'll start to do something about it.
I think so.
I think also we'll have a Santa rally. That will be the catalyst. It'll roll over a little bit and then realize people think, wow, that was a heck of a... There's going to be a heck of a rally by the end of the year. I honestly think that. And then that will be the catalyst for more money inflow and buying begets buying. That's why I'm saying... Take your positions, you know, do your research. Don't jump in crazy, you know, but good companies will always outperform, I think. Yeah. And there are good companies on AIM anyway.
I mean, I do feel like I'm playing a bit of a game of chicken with the markets, you know, sitting there on the sidelines with cash, you know, waiting to deploy at the right moment. So, but, you know, I'm sort of thinking it might be time to get out of the way.
Yes.
In fact, there's a juggernaut of potentially good news coming our way.
Yeah. A regular index. Who's the first comment today? We should go, Mr. Steve. I'm guessing the answer is still no. Well, Steve, you got prize for first comment, but no prize. Prize taken back off you for negativity. there is some amazing, compelling investment value opportunities out there right now. Absolutely there are. And I'm not saying go crazy. And in fact, Shrew comes in every evening and watches the video here on Catch Up, and he does comment every day. Shrew, the vegan Westie, says, as the greatest, most famous and richest long-term investor of all time, Warren Buffett says, forget about macroeconomics. Forget about worrying about if we are in recession or not. Focus on individual companies and their accounts. That's spot on, the accounts, that's it. Don't worry about little rallies here and there, but the accounts. There are gems to be found all the time. There are gems to be found, yes. And in fact, we'll look at one of them. Yeah. That's someone who says there, AGC2, positive trading update from Oxford Metrics.
Love it,
today.
Love this company.
Yep. 64 million of cash and trading ahead of expectations. Before we get into that, let's look at the broader markets, just see where we are in the bigger picture of things. The only one ticking up today is the FTSE 100. And that's a smidge up, 0.05%. Everything else is down. In fact, FTSE 250 is the biggest baller, which is, you know, domestic companies. It's sort of largest mid-cap domestic companies. AIM All Share, in fact, it's even worse than the AIM All Share. But biggest rise, Rio Tinto, Lloyds, of course, results out.
Yeah.
Raking in billions of profit, profiting from not raising interest on saving accounts and charging people lots on loans. that's what the complaint is. But a lot of these are selling off yesterday, but a lot of minus rallies. Apparently, China is going to issue about 140 billion of bonds, I think, to support the economy. So maybe that's it. Ocado, John, your favourite, is down. He must be gutted.
Any news there? I don't know that there is.
It just wobbles around, like you said, like a small cap, isn't it? Record Ben Kaiser.
Record have got news out today. Yeah.
St. James, I feel, is under the cosh. They've had a lot of scrutiny.
The record news is worth looking at. I mean, that's a big fall. I mean, what is it there? 5.5%. I mean, that is a big fall. It's very weak trading in its nutrition department. You know, this kind of suggests that something we talked about recently was, you know, the kind of battle between, you know, household budgets and branded products, brand loyalty, and you know, who's winning that. And you know, it's a tricky one. I mean, there's been some other factors at play here, but this was a very weak statement. Very weak statement. Volume's not really doing well at Reckitt.
That's a horrible chart. That is what's called. There's three states for chart. I keep reminding people: up, down, uptrend, downtrend, and range. And that is a range. You can see there actually, it's right on if you look at that, it's right on the low of that range. And like I said, the reason why you shouldn't try and trade, unless you're paying a nice dividend, the reason why you shouldn't trade ranges, it's going to break down below that range. It's always better to go for an uptrend. But let's just take the 50 off to make it clearer there. But yeah, look at that. Right in the bottom of that trend. And in fact, that's going back now, almost dips. Look at that. You see a dip down to there in 2020. Is it March? Yeah, that's a... The COVID dash for cash dip that was down there in December. But this is a different result. That's an uptrend. There we are. Look at that. And that was a fantastic uptrend from what's been going on for years. Look at it.
Oh, this was 2000. I mean, this was
it was an
incredible wealth.
2000.
Incredible wealth creator.
That's a 10 bagger right there. Over 10 baggers in 10 years. Yeah, yeah. But now, when you get that, you're going to have a bit of a, you know, for years, because you've had a party there for 10 years, pretty much, and you're going to have a range for quite a while. And see, and even there, look at that, the previous high. And, you know, obviously it's a long time between these, but nevertheless, the fact they couldn't get higher than that, you know, the previous high on June 17th, 2017, means it's going to, look, it dropped off a cliff there. So anyway, let's go to the front page of Vox, because Victor has covered Oxford Metrics, we talk about. And it's a typical example of an excellent company, you know, based in the UK that's globally relevant with their technology. But they're, yeah, I did a video on them recently, and I got this cash wrong on the video. I did get someone saying, you got the cash wrong there. And I thought, what? Because they had cash, and then cash in invested cash, which is in market funds or whatever. But they've got like 64 million.
Masses of cash.
Cash. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's, yeah, 64.8 million of cash. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite something.
What are they now? They're sort of 112. So they're basically, EV is 60 million. So they are literally on just over one-time sales for a company that's profitable. That is a good... I mean, the only worry here, is, like I said, is that the chart's a bit messy. It's a bit in a range. And it's the same kind of thing as, you know, Reckitt is a massive uptrend. And it needs this consolidation level, this trading range, for the bulls and bears to fight out. And it has jumped today and come back down, but it needs to, you know, get out of that range essentially. Yeah, it's a good company.
It's fantastic. I mean, what, you know, the kind of stuff it works on is incredible. So I'm sure we've all seen the footage of Andy Serkis dressing up in a leotard with lots of little dots on it.
Yeah.
To turn him into Gollum. But you know, so this company is, you know, very big in the entertainment world. Computer gaming is a big market for it, but it also can apply this technology elsewhere into markets like life sciences, sports science, you know, lots of sort of academia, you know, analysis, virtual twinning, which we talked about yesterday through this system called Vicon, artificial intelligence. A lot of it will be artificially intelligence driven, but virtual reality. So, yeah, I mean, these are absolutely fantastic numbers. New CEO coming in as well. So
Imogen. Yeah, I just connected with her on LinkedIn. She seems like she's from a very good track record as well. Quite promising. So Simon says, is it time to buy UK stocks? Yes and no. Some stocks seem to have found a floor, particularly microcaps. Others, particularly dividend-paying stocks, have not yet bottomed. Pre-Xmas rally. Yeah, it's all right.
There's probably some truth in that. Over. Yeah, because I mean, if you look at the FTSE 100, you know, vis-a-vis the FTSE 250 and AIM, or you know, various small cap indices, the 100's held up, you know, pretty nicely.
Yeah.
And you know, there are various factors at play behind that. You know, obviously. The rise in inflation, interest rates.
I don't know what I've done there. Lots of circles.
You know, so obviously, you know, the energy crisis has been good for sort of big oil companies, BP Shell. The inflationary crisis has obviously boosted interest rates, and it's created the opportunity for banks to milk their net interest margin. Lots of factors that, and obviously just the general, you know, seeking out of defensiveness, you know, companies like Unilever and Reckitt, but I do wonder whether we're going to start to see a reversal here. Small companies, you know, over the long term do deliver.
I mean, it's only down 8% from the high, you know, literally in 2023. And I'll tell you a comparison. And so that's the FTSE, you know, 100, here's the 250, and literally, you can see that is down 30% from the high in September. That was back then. And if you look at it, like, do you know what's telling? I got a mixture sort of, in my fund of both of them. And you can see it's more mirrored towards this, you know, in fact, you can see that downtrend. And it is, but it's mirroring the FTSE here a little bit, where it's trying to, these lows, is, like I said, that could break lower. I don't really mind if it breaks lower, because I'm accumulating this over a long period of time. So I'll get paid more dividends, more, and I'm only 5% down.
Yeah, I'm just looking at, over the last couple of years, top rises on the FTSE 100, Centrica,
yeah,
up near the top, BAE Systems, for obvious reasons, Shell, BP, 3i, 3i, big VC investor, actually. But then you've got Rolls-Royce, which is obviously a recovery play, but you know, certainly a beneficiary of... in fact, a lot of recovery plays at the top of the FTSE 100.
Oh, yeah, I got one of
the Rolls-Royce, Pearson. They've all had an absolutely shocking time for a number of years. So that's helped. But then, as you'd expect...
Yeah, but many alerts on a UK FTSE stock. Quite a few of them set up. I mean, and this echoes what... Andy says here, afternoon, guys, is it time to buy UK stocks? Problem is, many UK stocks are in a downtrend, not the same. The FTSE 250 index is at the 50-week lows, and we may have a short-lived rally in November, December. Yeah, but I think that'll be the catalyst. Never underestimate the power of fear of missing out. Money inflow. Selling begets selling, buying begets buying, okay? That could be just the catalyst, especially when you see on November 2nd now, the Bank of England, you know, almost keep interest rates where they are, saying the medicine's working. But in fact, there's a story about that later, but they don't want to let the market know that everything's okay. Do fundamental research, then look at the chart, and then wait, put an alert on the chart, and do something, something else.
So just going back to that comment, and it's something we talked about before, you know, that's why I'm sort of, you know, buying into a downtrend is tricky. Yes, you might miss out when you know, something bottoms and starts to jump again. But so what? Because then you lose out on a small amount, potentially of upside, and you've got that trend, you know, supporting you. I mean, the other thing to do is, you know, never exit the market and stay invested across the board at all times. And then you never miss anything.
I'd say that with funds and big dividend paying stocks that are massive, that obviously, I would say smaller caps, mid caps, nano caps, no, it's too painful.
I think that's true.
They can do about 90% down. So,
when
you see sort of, you know, Buffett and Munger talk about that, they're not talking about micro nano caps on AIM. They're talking about big, you know, sort of S&P majors, you know, that don't really, I mean, they can have a bit of variation, but they don't worry too much. Let's quickly look at the Boohoo! Look at that.
It's literally Mike Ashley. Yeah. Okay. Mike Fraser.
Yeah, Mike Fraser. All right, son. I look back, I was doing the editing the last video, putting the timings in. I noticed I called him Mike Fraser. I've been calling that from now on. So it's amazing. Mike Fraser, he's old Mikey. He's looking at topping up in Boohoo and Assos. I mean, I think the only value here for investors is it may rise on this attempted buyout of them, but he's using them as brands, isn't he? He wants to acquire them, using their sort of...
That's true, because obviously Boohoo has bought quite a few brands itself, bought things like Karen Millen, you know, some various fast fashion brands. Asos, whatever you want to call it, put out some news. It's delayed its results. Got some audit issues going on there.
That's surprising.
So, if you... Slight concerns in the fast fashion spaces, as per usual.
Yeah, if I were them, I'd delay it until Christmas Day. when everyone's watching telly, isn't it? So out of that, I mean, this is unbelievable. This is what I'm saying, you know. I mean, they're not small companies. They're Boohoo 92% down. Mm. It's okay topping up a fund, I think, in the big sell-off of bear markets. But if you're dealing in small micro nano caps, you can't do that. You really can't. It's going to kill you. It's going to kill your portfolio. Yeah,
I mean, ASOS has said, actually, sorry, I missed that it's downgraded guidance again. You know, and I'm sure it wasn't very long ago that it downgraded guidance.
I guess the stage where you keep downgrading. Sooner or later, you get an upgrade from the downgrade, but it's still not as good as it was previously. But still, you know, if you really downgrade it, look at that. They downgraded today. Have they? Was it the other day? Because that hasn't really, I mean, you know, how far can it go down? But literally, when you see that, and in fact, something that Jamie mentioned, actually, about house builders we talked about, when you see bad, you know, profit warnings come out from companies and it's already priced in because they don't move that much, you know, you think, okay, we are near the bottom of the market here.
That certainly seems to be the case here. I mean, it's down a little bit, 2% or so, but you know, not a horrific down, share price fall, which, you know, when you see delayed results because of some audit shenanigans and another downgrade, you would expect a whopper of a fall, but it just hasn't happened. I think that's potentially true.
Yeah. Rifsofoff says, I think if you buy good stocks now, you won't regret it in 5 years' time.
Agreed.
But they could go lower from here. True.
Agreed.
Absolutely true. They could go a little bit lower, but in 5 years, if you're looking at that out in Outlook, you're fine. Rob, yes. Do you know what? I just sent a message to John about Ethernet. I said, what's happening here? I thought they went bust. Mm-hmm. This is like Ethernet, which is like a company, an Israeli company, and I don't know what they do, but they're up 200. I'll show you there. They're up 230% a day, but they're filed for administration, I thought, a couple of weeks back. Now they're saying now they've raised 90 grand, but they're not sure they have raised 90. I don't understand what's going on.
Now, this falls into the I can't be bothered to look at it category.
Yeah, exactly. And it's only 1 point. So I would like literally, they're probably going to administration. I don't know what's happening there. Something odd happening. But it's not, one of the things I always say about investing, try and find good businesses. Businesses are prospering, doing better. This is not maybe a trade opportunity if you want to jump in and out for a couple of quid, but it's such a small company. The liquidity isn't big enough to put big amounts in. And why would you want to do that? And put a big amount in a company that's obviously failing in some way. But
there's some great companies reporting good news today.
Go on.
A lot of it on the homepage. Agri Services, this is an interesting one.
Yeah.
Really interesting. I mean, it's sort of a combination of. Well, they do industrial services, which is an electrical mechanical engineering. They do a lot of earth moving. And then they've got a land division, which basically is taking brownfield land through the planning process for residential, commercial and renewable energy construction. And they've got a sort of commodities recycling business, which is having a bit of a tough time, as the commodity markets are generally steel recycling. It's sort of bouncing, but I mean, this obviously interest rate sensitive because it's involved in house building, commercial property construction, but the shares are so cheap, 6x forecast earnings.
Yeah.
Again, not, it's got a bit of debt, but not a great deal. Lots, cash on the balance sheet offsetting that debt. And it's in the right space. The country needs more homes. And I say brownfield is the most sensible place to be building those homes. Needs more renewable energy. So, here we have, something really tapped into that strategy and more infrastructure. I think there's been a bit of nervousness because of, the cancellation of HS2 phase two, which it was potentially going to be involved in because it's in HS2 phase one. But that is not the only infrastructure game in town. There is a lot more infrastructure that needs to be built in this country. And so,
it's come down a low, recent low in October 2022, then bounced up, a nice trade up, higher highs, higher lows, and all of a sudden, recently, down to HS2 maybe.
Yeah, that's what I put it down.
Down lower channel, but it's trying to rally a little bit today. But
it didn't have any HS2. I think that's more hope than what the company had guided to. I don't think there was any actual revenue HS2 revenue in the forecast because it's been uncertain. What the future of that project is for some time. I think there's enough out there for this company to continue doing well, and enough in the coffers to support, whatever expansion comes next. To support the strategy.
Yeah,
so that's a good one. IG Design not on a homepage. Decent.
In fact, it was one of the only rises there on news was IG Design. So it's IGR's ticker there, and trading update looks. Decent, doesn't it? And so 6 months ahead. So they do say the group's going to make good progress on its journey to improving operational efficiency. What are they? Basically, they make cards and stuff. They say celebration, gift packaging, all that stuff.
All sorts of anything, any sort of Christmas gift package, greetings, cards, the lot. Okay. And they do a sort of combination of their own designs and licensed in stuff, both in the UK and the US. What they're essentially saying here is that margins are improving because in the US they've exited some unprofitable contracts and that means sales in the US are going to dip slightly, but profits are holding steady. The other thing a lot of companies like this were struggling with was obviously cost increases, inflation, the cost of shipping stuff around. They're going to benefit from that tailwind as well. And again, it's just, there is a slight read across the card factor.